Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Jeremy B. Hill Show. For those that are on their way to becoming the best version of themselves, finding their own success, these are the real life stories, the goods and the bad, the successes and the failures from those leaders who have made it and those that are still on the journey. Welcome to the show. All right, my friends. So unless you have been living under a rock, you know who this guy is. From One Life Lived in a Notorious Gotham, Orange is the New Black, Billions, one of my favorites, to runaway hits like Uncut Gems, and recently two of the most watched on television with The Family Business on BET and For Life on ABC. Brother, this has been a long time coming. I'm so excited.
Yes, it has.
Welcome, Mr. Sean Ringgold. How are you?
What's going on, Jeremy? Everything is good, my brother. Blessed. I'm happy to finally connect with you, my man.
Me too. The only thing that would be better is that I'm sure wherever you are, there is a cigar in your hand, which just pisses me off that I am not sitting there having a cigar with you.
I am enjoying a nice Cohiba Siglo 6 at the moment from Havana, Cuba. Yes, I am in a very happy place. Yes, yes, yes.
Good man.
I got one for you.
I'm ready. I'll be there soon. So first, right. Thank you, buddy. I know the demands on your calendar are just bananas, and you're all over the country, and you're doing great things. So thanks so much for sharing time with us. So
My pleasure, Jim.
Thank you, buddy. So for the, you know, I'd like to get into some of your success story, but before we do that, for the, you know, one person on planet Earth who doesn't own a television and who hasn't seen you, give us a little bit about Sean and kind of who you are and what you're doing and that kind of thing, and talk about growing up in Queens and all that kind of jazz.
Oh, man, tell them about Sean Ringgold. Where do I start? Oh, man. Hey, I'm a former, we'll start from the beginning, former celebrity bodyguard for a lot of A-list actors, many of them I can't reference or say because I have NDAs. If you Google my name, you may see a couple of pictures here and there. That's illegal. So I'm not breaking any NDAs there. But, you know, I started working at a place called 106 and Park, BET's Top 10 Live, back in 2000. And it was a video show that was in competition with MTV TRL. And our numbers, we were number one there. I was, you know, a security guard, bodyguard for behind the scenes with the audience. I got put on TV. I got on TV one day, and one thing led to the next, and it became, the blessings started to really, really happen. I got put on TV. I got the nickname Big Head from an artist. It's a video show, so you had an artist. Timbaland was actually being interviewed, and he had an artist named Miss Jade, and the name of the video that they were featuring was called Big Head. So after the video, the host, AJ Calloway and Free, turned the cameras to me and said, yo, Big Head, they just gave me the name Big Head because they think I have a big head. They said, hey, Sean, how do you get down in the club? And remember, as I started my career, they always said, stay off cameras, stay out of sight, out of mind. So as a bodyguard, you're never in the front, you're behind the scenes. So for some reason, the camera came to me and they said, hey, how do you dance in the club? And I'm like, nah, I can't show you guys that. You know, I was saying, I appreciate you giving me a shout out on TV, but I can't dance. You know, I can't do anything in here. So I actually started, they dropped the beat. I started dancing. But before I took that chance, I want to tell you something that's pretty funny. There's a book that I read called Seasons of Life by Jim Rohn. And every morning I try to read, it's a part of my mantra, every morning I try to read at least 15, 20 minutes to get my day started right. And there was a certain quote that I read that morning. And it said, seize the moment for every opportunity, for it shall never come to pass again. And I said to myself, wow, this is the number one hit video show in the country. All top-level celebrities and artists, entertainers come to the show to market their projects, whether they're an actor, TV show, or a film. They're an artist, you know, their music videos or whatnot. So I was stupid enough to take the chance. Seize the moment for every opportunity. I started dancing. I lost my mind in the camera. The crowd, the audience went crazy. And I officially became like the mascot of the show, kind of like Steve was for Jerry Springer, and my nickname was Big Head, and it all started from this artist. And then from there, one thing led to the next. Then I got into music videos. I did this video called Elephant Man. I don't know if you remember. It's called Pondy River. So mm-hmm. I was the security guard in that video. That led to another video I did by Robert Randolph and the Family Band. So keep in mind, I'm working on a number one video show as a bodyguard, and my show reached the video that I auditioned for, and I actually got landed on number one. So my face and my image was everywhere, and that led to me having relationships with a lot of different A-list actors and artists. And I started traveling the country with these people doing bodyguard work, but on the low, I was working on my acting career. And I never wanted to be an actor. It just happened. I just felt like, you know, for me to be getting all of this exposure all of a sudden, this was not my plan, this was God's plan. Yeah. But I was smart enough to read the signs and say, wow, many people would die for this type of exposure. And I never wanted to be an actor. I always wanted to be a firefighter. I grew up in Rockaway Beach. I was a lifeguard. And most of my friends, they became, you know, business owners. They'd own a bar or a different type of side business. And as a firefighter, they work 72 hours a week, you know, doing a 2 or 3 day shift, and then have time to go to Costa Rica, buy property out there, and, you know, invest in real estate. So I really, you know, they say you become who you associate. They say birds of a feather flock together, eagles fly alone. You cannot become an eagle if you're hanging around with pigeons. So once, you know, you start seeing the way things are starting to line up, I was always around the right people. And I said, if they can do it, why can't I can do it? You know, why not? So that led to me, you know, that was the beginning of my beginning to my acting career. Then the host of that show, they left and went on to do other things. And the new host came on, and it seemed like my Big Head character started to die. And then I said, okay, I can't be here anymore. And I said to myself, maybe I should try to really act. And I was very fortunate, Jeremy, in the beginning. Many actors go through situations in their lives where they don't see the success and they don't see the money right out the gate. But I was fortunate enough that, you know, that God blessed me with some great opportunities. So when I first left that show, I used to be a professional arm wrestler, and my nickname was the Rockaway Flash. I met this guy who was a videographer. He also had a talent agency. And I sent him, I had my headshots and everything ready to go. The guy actually called me. He called me and said, I have an audition for you. This was the first audition of my life, Jeremy. I can't make this type of stuff up. It was for Burger King. I booked it. And at that time, my first one. I was at that time, and I almost blew it because I was actually bodyguarding 50 Cent for 50 Cent on the movie Get Rich or Die Trying. So my commitment first is to my clients and my work, and I always try to finagle and figure out, okay, if I got called back. So I went out for the audition, got it. Then they called me back and said, we need something called a callback. We have to meet with the producers, and they want to meet you. So the day that they called me back, I was on set. And when you're on set, I can't leave. So I made up, and they're not used to not getting their way. People die, go, they will do anything to make sure they get back for a producer session. Because remember, this is the beginning of my career. I didn't know how substantial the money is, you know, for these jobs.
Sure.
So I missed the first audition. And I mean, the first call back, because I got the audition. They liked me. They asked me to come back. And then the next day I got in front of them. They were like, why couldn't you come yesterday? I said, oh, my sister was sick. They said, yeah, right. Anyway, go back to doing what you did. They kept me. I booked the commercial. So when I started seeing the money, keep in mind, I come from construction, driving cab, janitor work. I used to rebuild and sell motorcycles and, you know, doing bodyguard work. Then when I booked this commercial, I started seeing the money. I was like, Jesus, Mary, and sweet Joseph. I'm like, I'm making more and one day worth of work, and it airs for 6-7 months for this specific commercial. It aired for 6 months, and every time it airs, I'm getting a percentage. I'm like, this is amazing. So I'm talking 3-4 days. I mean, I would say 3 to 4 times a month, my mailbox is just stacked with checks from different markets that this commercial is airing in. Then I went out for a second commercial, Boost Mobile. I booked that. When I tell you I was lucky, man, lucky as hell. But I'm very comfortable in my own skin, so I'm not theatrically trained. I just got out there and started acting stupid, and I got the job. Then I went out for my third commercial for Dunkin' Donuts. Booked that one. So Then after that came the soap operas and a ton of different TV shows after that. But the blessing of me getting or booking these commercials in the beginning of my career helped. It really saved me a lot of pain when I wasn't getting work, when I wasn't, or when I was auditioning and not getting the jobs and going through the blood, sweat, and tears that most actors have to go through to try to get acknowledged and get seen. I already had three in the bag, and they all paid very well. So even when I wasn't getting the jobs, I never had the thought, what most people do, feel like, oh, I'm going to quit. I got to do something else. I knew that this business was real. I knew that this business paid because I was fortunate and blessed enough to keep getting these jobs. And I'm just, when I say I'm truly grateful, man, I'm truly grateful. I went through some hard, challenging times when it got slow at times and nothing was happening. And, you know, you move out from mama's house and, you know, we're going back. I've been doing this now 15 years. But meaning that in the beginning of your career, a lot of people, when you know, you hear stories of A-list actors, they struggle. They go through a lot. They're homeless. And I was very fortunate and very blessed to make money. So it gave me that confidence and that belief, even with the rejection and not getting work and this and that, I knew that eventually I would book. But when you book these jobs, they pay so substantial that you can set yourself up for a year to 2 years in advance when you do get them. So it really taught me money management and I just always had that belief and I had that confidence no matter what, even when nothing was happening, right. Eventually, as long as I stayed consistent, it's going to hit. So, you know, I can go on, man. My career, I've been doing 15 years, got over 40 acting credits. So, I mean, I could go through every single, you know, that was the beginning of my career.
Right. But there was a point, I remember having conversations with you, that there was a point to where it is that you're doing security services. And I know some of the people it is that you've worked with. And you had had a breakout movie back when you did Notorious that this is at the time it is to where it was definitely a bunch of trepidation and fighting. And it was all over the media back and forth between East Coast and West Coast guys and rap and hip hop. And there was a character, Suge Knight, who just seemed to be the present-day bad guy of the world. And there was a point to where it is. I remember you telling me you're doing security work for somebody else, and you get cast in this role and didn't realize that that thing just blew up. The character it is that you were guarding at the time, it was a fucking ego hit to this cat.
Mm-hmm. Tremendous.
So you go through these times to where you realize, you know, normal people who are not, you know, who are watching you, who are on the other side of the screen, you know, it looks like a perfect life and this kind of a thing, but you've seen firsthand, not only from people it is that you're friends with, but back in the day before you became the Sean Ringgold of the screen, it is that, you know, a lot of these guys have fragile egos and that there's a lot of dysfunction there. And I know a lot of what it is that you attribute to your success is keeping your head right and not letting that stuff get to you.
Let me break this down to you. Most people don't make it because they don't have the consistency. Many people have the talent. Many people aren't humble. Many people lack people skills, because you have to remember something. There's a book that I read by a guy, I think his name was Roger Dawson, I'm not positive, don't quote me on it. It was called Personality Plus. Another book that I read called How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. I'm sure you read that, Jeremy.
Sure.
Those books, because I was in network marketing when I was like 16, 17, 18, and, you know, I was in that company called Amway that turned to QuickStart, then I was in a company called Prepaid Legal Services. I credit those network marketing companies for me being where I'm at in my career and in my life right now. And let me explain to you why. The system that they put you through with the personal self-help and development, getting to understand yourself, your qualities, your attributes, knowing, you know, something doesn't work, change your approach, just having a winner's attitude, staying around the right people, not being upset or disappointed by rejection, and understanding that entrepreneurs get their teeth kicked in on a daily basis. You have to deal with self-doubt, and if you don't get out there and perform, you don't get paid, or you're not going to get sales. So I took those same qualities and I I kind of basically carry them over to acting, saying, look, if I'm not out there auditioning, if I'm not out there meeting the right people, if I'm not trying to stay in shape, if I'm not looking good, feeling good, feeling good with inside myself, I'm not going to attract the right opportunities. And many books that I've read, and one of the things that I've read, and I'm sure you've heard a million times over, is you attract what you are. And I've always,
Absolutely.
You know, been a person thinking about personal self-help and development. I'm always thinking, just seeing, meditating and seeing where I want to be in my life and creating that image and living that and looking the part, speaking the words, reading the books, and being able to be well-seasoned, well-rounded, to be able to have the confidence to speak directly to a producer, a director. And I've always learned that you get more done by dealing with people at the top than you do with the bottom feeders or people in the middle, you know, like middle management. So I've been very fortunate building relationships with different producers and directors and not being afraid to ask for what it is I want. Because they say life and death is at the power of the tongue. You know, speak as you becometh. You have to speak
Absolutely.
And ask for what it is you want. And taking those qualities and those principles that I learned through self-help, personal development, being around, you know, network marketing magnates, these guys that have just, you know, they make great money, multimillionaires. I took those qualities and I applied them to my acting career. So when I was in the room with the producers, most actors are scared. They give the power to the producers. And I'm absolutely most comfortable. I don't care if I'm in there with Michael Bay or this person. I'm just going to be Sean Ringo, be confident, know I'm going to knock it out the box, and then say, hey, guys, hope that I see you on set. If not, it's been real. Thank you very much. And I walk out, they're like, damn, that guy's confident. Like, that's how I go into the room. I'll either shake their hands. Well, now with this corona stuff, you can't be shaking anyone's hand. And I'll just give them a peace sign. Hey, guys, how you doing? Give me a second, get into the character. But just having the confidence instead of being nervous, I'm confident. And it takes time to work on your confidence, but you work on your confidence just by doing something over and over and over again. They say repetition is the mother of all skill. And I always remember that the more you do something, the better you get, no matter what it is. So I just continued. I repetitively worked on it. Even auditions, like self-tapes. I have to put myself on tape to get a job, and then I don't get a job. But the more I do it, the more comfortable I am on camera. And my manager's like, man, you're getting better and better. So, you know, you have to have that confidence. So the personal self-help and development stuff truly helped me get to where I'm at. And then in 2009, when Suge Knight came out, I didn't know that the film was going to be that substantial. I could no longer work for my clients because I was walking on a red carpet with them at one point, and they started saying, yo, Suge, because the night before I had the premiere, I had the my premiere for my thing. The next day I went right back to bodyguard work, and forgetting that I'm in a feature film, I'm playing a significant man named Suge Knight, who was one of the biggest and baddest dudes in the entertainment game, and I'm playing his character and not understanding how many TVs and how many people around the world are watching or seeing this movie. So the very next day, the paparazzi that usually follows me with the client that I was working with at the time, I hit the red carpet taking my client to the play, and they started screaming my name. They're A-listers, so they don't even know about Notorious. They got their own A-list movies. So they started screaming my name, and then one of the photographers, the paparazzis, came up with a picture of me on the red carpet from the night before and asked me to sign it when I was in front of my client. They looked at me like, what the F is going on? I was like, oh, wow. So they showed the cat's out of the bag. What's going on here? I was like, So then at that point, they found out I was an actor. And, you know, I dropped them off at the jet at Teterboro. And, you know, that was the end of my security career. I said, I can no longer be on both sides of the fence. And I just had to make a decision. It was scary because I was making a good six-figure salary, traveling the country, staying at the nicest hotels, eating at the best restaurants that you could imagine that people dream about. Everything paid for on the arm by your client. At a hotel, I always have to be next door. So if they're at a suite, just, you know, if I'm on the top floor right next to them, sometimes I've got like a 3-4-bedroom suite all to myself. You know, I'm like, this is amazing. But you always have to be – so there were so many perks, and it was so scary to say, you know, I have to say no to this now. And now I have to go and struggle and bust my ass to get my life to that next level. And the one thing that poisons you when you work with A-list actors is this. when you see how their families travel, how they live, how they make decisions, not asking how much, they just do what they want. You know what I mean? You have private guides, you go to amusement parks, you shut things down. You just know how to operate. You know how people say
Twists your reality.
It twists your reality. So now you have your own family, and now you want to do the same things. And it, like me, I'm not the guy, if I can't do it the way I want to do it, I don't do it at all. I'll just wait until I'm in a position to do it the way I want to do it so I can give my family a first-class experience, because then I've traveled, I've been a lot of places around this whole country, but I haven't experienced a lot of places.
Yeah.
So now wanting to give, like I want to go cross-country like I did with one of my clients. I want to go cross-country in a Prevost motor coach, hire my driver, and be able to go cross-country on a Prevost motor coach. It's an incredible experience to see the country that way.
Love it.
You know, I went cross-country from California all the way to New York and back. You know, 52 stops. It was amazing, 52 performances. So when you do things like that, you're like, damn, you want to make enough bread where you can have a nanny come with you, you know, and
you
know,
you can do it right.
You know, why? You can do it right and, like, to live, to do something in 1 year that most people aren't able to do in their lifetime. And when you have that kind of exposure, it puts a lot of pressure on you. But I've always had high expectations. I've always been a go-getter. And I expect nothing less of myself. If I can operate and have friends and A-list celebrity people that look to me for guidance, respect, and security, and also an ear to many of them when they got to talk because you're around them all the time and they trust you, so it's like I'm at home. I'm in my natural place when I'm dealing with people at that level. So now as an actor, I'm like, this is where I got to go. I know how to
so
act. I'm around successful actors. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, so now you go from, hey, I've got this full-time gig. I'm living well, traveling well, you know, at the request of my clients, you know, in the best suites, on the private jets, on doing all this other kind of stuff, right? Living the life that most people only dream that they could ride shotgun on, to and having a side hustle with the acting gig and not know what. Now you go from that to the next day you're at the deep end. Okay, decisions are ready to be made. I guess I'm an actor.
Yeah, but I've learned it. You got to walk on faith and not by sight. They say leap in the net will appear. So after 2009, I had to make a commitment to myself. I will not do bodyguard work. And I've had opportunities where, you remember, bodyguards are friends. Like it's, like Jay-Z says, it's a secret society. Oh, yes, it's trust. When people know that you're good, they know that they can trust you. So when I got out, they're like, yo, where you been? I'm acting. I'm seeing you on this show. They're like, yeah, sure. But sometimes they will reach out to me and say, yo, you know, I need to go on vacation. I referred my client to you because I trust you, and I know you're not going to try to take my client. I'm like, dude, that's not my priority. I'm an actor. So some clients don't like the fact that, hey, I'm acting part-time. I'm not at their level. But then you start getting attention when you're on one of the shows that their friends are on. So now you're chilling with them like an equal, but then I still have to go grab their bags and make sure, you know, I'm still reporting to them and standing outside doors. But I was humble enough because I needed to get that bread. So you do what you got to do instead of waiting a table, or, you know, I don't do that, but meaning that I still did a little bodyguard work until 2009. That was it, where I said, even when I got tempted to work with huge artists, huge, I'm talking, I could have been at a point where I was making a nice, healthy 15 to 20K a month, traveling, eating free, keeping everything in my pocket, all of it. And I was like, I had to say no. And the reason I got Suge Knight is because a client was about to go start another movie that I was working with, and she was like, hey, I need you in North Carolina. I got the audition call for the role, and I had to be packed and ready to go the next day. And I made the commitment. I made the decision. I said, nope, I'm sorry, I can't make it. And, you know, they say no risk, no reward. I took the risk, and I was rewarded. You know, God honors commitment. So I got the role for Suge Knight, and that opened up more doors. And while I was doing that, I was also on the soap operas on One Life to Live. I was there for 6 years, and
it didn't start like that, right? Like, I know the story of One Life to Live. It didn't start like, hey, we've got this long term thing, and you're the guy. It started small and turned into something that was amazing.
And it was all because of personal self-help and development, networking, knowing how to deal with people, learning about, like, the books like the 48 Laws of Power, not overshining the master, don't outshine the master.
Sure.
Meaning that, keep in mind, I'm working around different actors now. I started under five lines on a soap opera. Okay.
And so tell the story. So One Life to Live started as five lines, and what did it turn into?
It turned into a season regular opportunity 3 years later. I was a main character on the show.
In like 100 episodes or something crazy.
I did 198 episodes in a period of 6 years.
So from five lines to 100, yeah, amazing.
Yeah, you know, bro, it wasn't me, it was God.
You know what? And to go back to that, one of the things that is that you said, that whether it's guys in film and entertainment in Hollywood, or whether it's guys that are starting their own business, or somebody who's hoping that they can get the courage to start something, whatever something is one of the things that you said that just stuck with me is you got to jump and the net will appear. And so many people are scared to take that leap for fear of failure. And you and I've talked about this before, and the fact that is that most people are more concerned with what happens if it doesn't work. Like, what happens if I try this and it doesn't work? And that overtakes the fact of but what if you try it and it does work? What if it is as good as you hope it's gonna be? They let that fear take their joy or the potential blessing out of this thing, right?
No, absolutely, but you got to remember something. Remember how I started. I know that I had the conviction because I got paper. Because once you have that conviction, that doubt leaves you. That's why I say I was very blessed and fortunate right out of the hole, because I did an interview not too long ago, and I said if I didn't book those commercials, I don't know if I would have stuck and stayed, because the times that I did go through, like I'll give you an example. From 2010 to 2011, I was going out on so many commercial auditions while I was still working on the soap opera, but I was recurring. In 2011, I went into contract. So recurring, you're working, the day that you work is the day that you get paid. So you're not getting a consistent, you're not in contract. So if you only work three times out of the month, that's what you get. You're getting paid per day. So you're like, damn it, it's not enough to, it's enough just to survive, not enough where you can, you know, go get yourself a new car, where you can go and do this and, you know, put money away and start to travel and plan your life. You're just surviving. So when that transitioned into a season regular role, things changed where I was like, wow, like I had the conviction because I made money in the beginning of my career. Most people could not go through what you have to go through as an actor to be a working actor, where you have, like, you know, you have as many shows that I've been on, successful commercial campaigns and stuff like that. I had one of the biggest commercial campaigns for the show, a commercial called Dr. Scholl's, that was in all over the country, $20 million. And I was in Walmarts all over the country with the big stand-up posters. You know, I was on the pamphlets, you know, for, you know, the customer for orthotics. I'm a 440. So when you start having that success and your face is blasted over every hockey game, every soccer game, every basketball game, you know, for 18 months, you work 3 days inside of a studio, you shoot this commercial, and then it airs for 18 months, and you're making six figures for working three physical days of labor. And it's like you do it, and then it goes out, and it's like it just keeps coming, the residuals. So when, you know, a lot of people say, hey, do you get paid from that? I'm like, why is it all of a sudden you see me on TV every day? Now you start asking me how much I make. But meaning that I was blessed to have those wins, and that's what kept me going when I started having the rejection and not going. Oh, I'll give you an example of something. I didn't get commercials for 1 year. From like 2010 to 2011, I was going back and forth to the city, working, busting my ass, man, changing during audition. I mean, while I'm shooting one show, drive across town to get on my lunch break, to get in for this audition, then drive back when I'm actually booked for another show. I took risks that most people couldn't even imagine. The network said to me, you can't work on another network while you're on our show. I broke the rules and did it anyway. And then they found out about it, but because I wasn't in contract, they couldn't do anything. Then I booked the commercial with J-Lo, a Kia commercial. Then that started airing on the network. So then it started upstaging the actors that have been there for 15, 20 years, because our show comes on between 2 and 3, or it did back in the day on Channel 7. And then in between the commercials, my commercials would air. They were like, what the F? Like, you should, I started getting hate. And
you
I
were
just started smiling to everyone. Oh, yeah. Oh, I was I'm a risk taker, and I learned all of that stuff from, you know, early in my career. Not caring about what other people say, taking risks, pushing forward, and staying around the right people, and just having an optimistic attitude, saying, you know, no risk, no reward, go for it, and stay focused, and just know where you want to be. And I was able to get along because of my experience as a bodyguard. I would be able to connect with the top players in the soap opera game, whether it was Susan Lucci, somebody like who worked on my show, Erica Slezak, Robin Strausser, Bob Woods. These were all veterans that were superstars in the genre of soap operas. And many people, many actors that would just come out of acting school or they had some success and they ended up on a soap, they believed the funk. They thought that they were stars. And I would always stay humble, and I would always just be able to have conversations with the top stars and get learning and acting tips on how do they retain 50 to 70 pages of dialogue in one day. And I've learned how to do that without being theatrically trained because I was around some of the best soap actors on planet Earth. And they say you become who you associate. Mm-hmm. And I give my career, I give so much of the credit to my soap operas because they teach you how to work under pressure because they move at a very fast rate and you have to know your shit. You have to know your lines. You got to commit. You have to know stage direction vis-a-vis. It's a lot of work. And most people say, how do you do that? So that helped me when I did primetime work because they move much slower. They get paid a lot more. But the pressure is so dissipated because you went through so much stress in the beginning of your career with the soap operas. So, I mean, Jeremy, I could talk forever, brother.
But it seems like, you know, just in business and in entertainment both, right, you have this you've got varying degrees of success, right? Like I'm in my business, I'm sure just like in entertainment, you've got the starving actor, right, who's hustling his ass off and eating top ramen and, you know, lives with 10 people and just trying to get there, right? Like the famous story of moving to New York, I'm moving to Hollywood, and I'm gonna make it, right? You know, the La La Land thing, right? You know? And then you've got the kind of the mid-tier folks it is that are stable, they're paying their PUD bill on time, they're making a little bit of money, a little bit of notoriety. Then you have some success, and, you know, successful guys it is that you know, I would certainly put you in that bucket. And then you have the folks it is that are the, you know, become the 20, 30-year icon type guys, you know, the whoever it is that you want to say today, the Tom Hanks of the world or the, you know, the guys that are getting $20 million bucks a film kind of a guy. And,
oh, Jesus, I can't wait.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, too, I think for you, you know, one of the things it is, and I don't want to assume, but I think for you, a lot of your success, or let me ask this, how much of your success do you think has come because your mental game, your attitudes, your discipline towards, you know, positive thinking and everything else, how much of your mental game has been attributed to the success it is that you're having?
Everything. It's everything. Your mental attitude, your attitude is your aptitude, shall I say. How, you know, the light, the levels. Remember, everything that you want to have, do, and obtain in this world is controlled by people. And the more that you know how to deal and understand with people, that you know how to get along with them, the easier it is for you to attain and get the things that you want. So I've learned the number one thing that you have to do is have good people skills. Also, you have to be a good listener because, you know, people want to do business with people that they like. And I know that you enjoy working with brokers and different people that you work with because they genuinely like you. So you don't want to do business with an asshole. So sometimes many actors and, I mean, different producers will hire people who are assholes, but they're short-lived. They're not able to be working consistently because people don't want them on the set. Yeah. When you have a good reputation, you have good energy, and you treat people right, and you do a good job, at the end of the day, you have to know your lines, give a good performance, be in character. And when people genuinely like you, I've had times where I was going to get killed off of a show, and they had to do a reprieve to bring me back because they were like, it's going to kill the show. It's like, we can't have Sean die. And then they would bring my character back, and I'm like, holy cow. And I have to credit it to strong mental positive attitude and people liking me. because
well, that sounds like some soap opera shit. Nobody ever dies on soap operas; they always come back.
No, but I was supposed to die. My brother was a surgeon. He operated on me. I was supposed to die on the show, and then he took my girlfriend from me. It was a soap opera. It was.
Of course it was.
And the crazy part was, you know, that people knew that I was going to be getting killed off the show, but never told me. And then all of a sudden, they brought my character back, and then they killed him off the show. So it's like karma's a mother effer, man. Let me tell you, like sometimes it's treacherous. I'm talking, I'm running lines, I'm going over my man's, going over his house, picking him up from the airport, and I knew from, you know, because I was cool with the casting agents. I mean, I was cool with the production guys, the crew guys. So we would go fishing out in the Hamptons, out in Montauk, and they would talk. And one time they said, "Hey, Sean, I got to tell you something. Your brother knew about you dying off the show before, you know, the date that I got called to the office when I was playing pool. I had a big scene with him the day before." He's like, the executive producer called me to the office and said, "Sean, you're going to die." I was like, "Okay." But I said, I almost wanted to cry because I'm like, my career's just starting. And I said, "Okay." I just said, "I'm going to give them the best death that they can imagine so they'll remember me." And all of a sudden, I was supposed to, and then they did a focus group, and all the people were like, "No, you can't kill Sean." So then when they brought my character back, my friends told me that my brother knew that I was going to die. And I never told him to this very day, years later, I never told him that I knew. And then when he got killed off the show, he called me on the phone crying, and they killed my character off the show. And I'm like, "Oh, man, so sorry to hear that." But I said, karma's real, man. When someone's supposed to be your friend and your brother in real life, we hang out, and you know information where I'm going to die off the show, at least you could tell me so I could start preparing. I'm not a spoiled, I don't have spoiled milk. I'm like, this is a career. You got to keep going. But it was just funny, man. This business is something else. It's you know, you have to be good. You have to know how to work well with people. And I was able to get along with all the cast members. And I never tried to upstage people. And I always played humble. And I knew when to shut up. I knew when to talk and be funny. It was just best. But also being around major stars, they knew my background. They were also amazed with that because they have never been involved with A-list actors. They're trying to become that. You understand? They're trying to get out of soaps to do big films and stuff like that. So when I'm working and they know the people that I've worked with, they're amazed, always asking me questions, and I have to be vague because they know that I have an NDA. But they see me and they're like, "Do you call that person?" I'm like, "Sure." They're like, "Oh, my God." So when they know that you worked in Hollywood and you know how to deal with people and you don't let the ego get to you and you're humble, you can really say you have a, you know, my chances of succeeding were higher than other people that got to that show, moved their whole family to New York, and then got killed off the show in 2-3 months because the cast members didn't like them and they got them out of there. And I'm like, it's all about how you deal with people. People like you, you'll work.
Yeah, that's it. Well, so if you look back, so if you look at Sean today versus Sean 8-9 years ago, did you ever think it is that you're going to be doing what it is that you're doing right now? Did you think it is that you'd have the success and the notoriety and just be on the cusp of continued great things? Did you see this happening?
I honestly, eight years ago, I did. Why? Because God doesn't make any mistakes. And when I was working, when I started in the beginning, like I said, when I booked the commercials, I said, "This is not an accident. This is not an accident." You know, I do, you know, motivational speeches. I go to schools and I work with a nonprofit organization called Heartshare Human Services, and I do mentoring. And I said, "Is God using me as a conduit to help other, you know, black kids, you know, say, wow, what a great example. Sean Ringo, this guy surfs, he snowboards, he skis." I do all types of sports and activities underneath the sun, and they're looking to me as an example, saying, "Wow, I want to be like him." I always knew that God had something special planned for me. Even when I was going through trials and tribulations, I knew that it was to toughen me up or to get me ready for what's to come. So everything that I've gone through, even in the beginning of the career, He would not have given me that success if He didn't want more for me. He doesn't turn His back on you. You're moving forward and things are happening. He's not just going to say, "Okay, you know, you got those 3 commercials, you got a soap opera, you're done." No, most people are done because their faith dies and, like, they don't see immediate gratification. They don't believe in understanding what delayed gratification is. Sometimes things take time. You know, you have, he'll never give you more than you can handle. So there's certain jobs now that I understand why I didn't get, because I wasn't ready mentally for them and what would come of them.
Sure.
Make sense?
Perfectly. Yeah.
But let me tell you 100%. Let me tell you something, this is the God's honest truth, man. The movie I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry with Adam Sandler. So we'll go into Uncut Gems, but prior to that, that movie, when I went out for this role, I killed the audition. Killed it. When I tell you killed it, it was a gay character, and I never said I'm going to play a gay character, but I just went into this thing. It was just so crazy, Larry. It was like this feeling was just coming over me. And I did the audition. The casting agent was like, oh, my God, can you come back tomorrow? I want you to read for the director. Then I found out that the person I would be doing the scene opposite of was Adam Sandler. I pissed in my pants. Keep in mind, I was bodyguarding at the time, but I wasn't working with an actor like Adam Sandler. This was 2007, 1 year into my acting career. I'm on this audition for, not Uncut Gems, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, the comedy, and I go out for the role. So then the director was asking me questions. Bro, I was fucking, excuse my language, I was stuttering. I was scared to death because I'm like, holy shit, this is going to be opposite of Adam Sandler. I didn't have that confidence when I was in front of the director. Like, I was already on the soap operas doing my under five lines here and there, but this was so much bigger and substantial than the soap operas. I was a nervous wreck. And the director looked at me, he's like, yeah, this kid's nice, but, you know, we can't have you stuttering and being nervous when you're on camera opposite of Adam Sandler. Or yeah, these other actors. So then when I knew the character that booked the role, when I knew that I was in that genre, Vin Rains got that role. Remember, he played that character, the gay firefighter.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, at that moment, when that casting director called me back, that was a confirmation. I said, I know I'm going to do good in this business, and I just have to stick with it. I knew why I blew the audition, because the director was nervous. And he was like, you got to be a certain level of confidence to be able to get on set, have these scenes when you have the cameras on you, and then do these things sometimes 7-8 times when they're repoing the cameras on you. You have to stay in character. You have to hit your lines, hit your marks, and have high energy and execute. That's what they pay you the big bucks to do. So I wasn't ready for those opportunities. I got the opportunity, but I blew the audition. So that was a part of the growth. And then later on, when I worked with them on Uncut Gems, me and him had a great conversation. I got video I could send you of me and him dancing the weekend in the hallway. And I said to him, you know what, I was supposed to play the Vin Rains part, but I blew the audition because I was so nervous to be working with you. And I said, that was over 10 years ago, but I knew that this was supposed to happen. Now I'm here working with you now, and it's fantastic. So if he remembers me for another role down the road, that would be great, but it was such a blessing to work with Adam Sandler, and he's such a humble, nice dude. So many opportunities, like you said, if I didn't, you know, have the confidence or the mindset, certain things just didn't happen because I wasn't ready.
Yeah,
I just wasn't ready.
But well,
now,
so Adam, if you're listening, he's ready. Whatever you got coming up, don't forget about Sean.
Oh, he knows. I started adding dialogue to my character, and they kept it because they were like, damn, it was that good because I was in character, and those weren't the lines I was supposed to say. But when you're living the scene, things come out because that's what's real. So, you know, he said, man, you did a great job. I said, thank you very much. You just want to leave that set where they're
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So wrapping up, last couple of questions for you. So I guess – for you right now, you're doing, you just finished, what, season 2 of The Family Business?
Yep,
which has been a runaway hit on BET, right?
BET Plus, yes.
On BET Plus. And so we were talking when you were in California a couple of weeks ago, and some of the guys that you had, what a great cast of people. What a great cast of people you're working with. And so you're doing that, and then... what else? We got For Life on ABC, which is, I think, has been, what, the number one television show in the country.
Yeah, it was
right
the number
now.
One show. Yeah, it was last year it was the number one show in the country.
Amazing.
And I'm only, as of right I'm in one episode for season two. I shot that. That's coming out November 18th on ABC at 10 o'clock.
Awesome.
That's when season two starts to air, and I got a good amount of dialogue in that episode. You know, I play the correction officer, Huey Cornell, in that. Going back to the family business, I'm working with a fantastic cast. I'm a producer on that, and also I'm an actor. I'm one of the main actors on the show, which is a blessing. So my character's name is Junior Duncan, and my father is the incredible Ernie Hudson. We don't have to talk about his resume.
What a great guy. Ghostbusters,
and I mean, his resume is ridiculous. Valerie Pitiford plays my mom. Darren Henson's my brother. Javicia Leslie, who plays my sister, her name is Paris. She just booked the role. You'll see her on CW11. She's the new Catwoman.
So, oh, really?
I mean, Batwoman, excuse me, on CW11. So she went from our show to multimillionaire just like that. Boom.
Wow.
So
amazing.
I'm on a good platform to be on, and I just, you know, I've worked with Amada Santi on the first season, Mark Henry, who was a WWE Hall of Famer. He played a character called Reggie. As a producer, I was able to, you know, call in a favor and say, hey, man, love to have you on the show. He got the dialogue, and I made it happen. So he played the character of Reggie. And, you know, I had my producer hat on, my actor's hat on, and it's been going good, man. We got season three here, and we'll see how long it goes.
That's wonderful. So you are – let me ask you a couple last questions. So you are doing something. You are doing something it is that, candidly, most people listening to this only dream of, right? And you've gotten it to a point to where it is that you had a fantastic amount of success. You're doing something it is that you love. You're being paid well for it. And even though it's work, it never seems like work because you love it. So for you, what keeps you hungry? What keeps you motivated? What keeps you wanting to continue to learn and push yourself and educate and get better and do more? What keeps you motivated?
A couple of things. My number one priority is my family, you know, wanting to have my daughter in a blue ribbon school, having that 5,000 square foot home. You know, those are, you know, goals that I'm trying to make a reality right now. That's the number one priority. They say success is built on inconvenience. Me, the auditions that I have to go on, the timing, it is beyond inconvenient. What happens when you have stuff? I have to pick up my daughter, I drop my daughter off at school in the morning, I pick her up, you know. It is not easy. I have to study. I have to read. I have other things that I'm trying to do here, you know, at the house, just trying to get everything together. Then you get an audition where now whatever responsibilities or family plans that you had, I have to go into a hole. I have to study these characters, and I have to be able to perform and bring different things to life, whether I'm a comedian, whether I'm a doctor. You have to put aside everything that you're doing because you have to remember 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pages of dialogue, put them on tape, and you want to give them the best version because you want to have the best chances of booking that role. So putting personal issues and things to the side that you may be dealing with mentally or be having issues at home, anything, you know, my son, unfortunately, he suffers from sickle cell anemia, so there have been times where I've had to do auditions and things had to be canceled because we were in the hospital. So when they say success is built on inconvenience, it's real. Like, people see the glory, but they don't know the story. They don't know the journey, what goes on in between. And on my Instagram page, I'm not promoting, oh, well, I'm in the hospital, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. It can be extremely challenging to be able to get quiet time and not let, you know, nonsense and other deals that maybe not coming through that I've, you know, produced and raised money for, and the investors haven't gotten paid yet, dealing with all those different stresses, and then you have to go in front of the camera and be that guy. That's extremely hard, Jeremy. There's nothing easy about that. And also, what about the day if you have an argument at home or something is not right, or, you know, God forbid, like, I've gotten calls, my daughter busted her lip from school, and it was the school's fault, and I'm trying to, you know, stay focused on my work, and then have to try to get to the hospital. You know, my wife, she's a reporter on Pix 11 News, so that being, she's working, she's out in the field, she has a camera in front of her, then it's like you have to call on family to go. It's not easy. You just can't walk away from a $1 million a day budget, and you're a main character on a show, and like, yo, I gotta go. There is no just, I gotta go, unless it's an
extreme. There is no I gotta go.
Extreme.
Yeah.
emergency. Yeah, because you got to go and sell that role and sell that character, and that's your money for your mortgage. That's the money for lifestyle. Because one of these shows, you get paid, you know, for your work, but then you get your residuals. So you got to take this serious because the residuals pay for the rest of your life. You know, every, you know, as it airs and if it gets syndicated. So my motivation is, number one, my family. I do love what I do. It's fun to be a different character. You meet so many great, interesting people. And to know, like, I was on a show called Damages. I worked with opposite of Glenn Close and Tom Noonan. When you start working opposite of stars like that and you get the gems of wisdom that they give you, it just, and the life that it can provide for you, that's my motivation. To be able to not have to struggle anymore, because once you struggle and you go through a hard time, and you know you're living in lack, and you're always thinking, okay, how much can I do this? Can I do that? It doesn't take a lot to make me happy, man. Just to be debt free to me, compared to like having to back when I had to borrow money from my mom or my dad, dude. That's real. Any actor that tries to act like they didn't have to ever borrow money or go through some extreme hard times to take care of rent, they're lying. Unless they just come from money and they are lucky bastards. But most people had to struggle and go through some time. So even after the commercials, that money dries up. You know, I got crazy. I got me a BMW, got a jet ski, custom clothes. I'm like, wait a minute. Shit, money's gone. You know?
Yeah.
So then you start saying to yourself, you're like, okay, wait a minute. Now, having a family, my daughter's 4. My son, he's 15. So you say to yourself, wait a minute. Now you got to start making, you start taking on bigger roles, bigger opportunities, getting yourself in shape to be able to take on different characters, and now you're stepping into another arena where you're on an audition and you're looking at certain actors like, holy shit, I grew up watching you. Now I'm in competition with you. This is amazing. So then you have to accept where God has placed you and say, yo, that guy is no better than you. Actually, you're going to destroy him. He has nothing on your creativity. You are that guy. Nobody here can top you.
That's
go in there and claim the room. All you, Sean Ringo, let's go. And I walk in that room and I claim, hey, gentlemen, hey, guys, how you doing? Everything good? Everything's fantastic. All right. Hold on, give me a second. I'm cracking myself up. They're like, what the hell? I go in there.
Like, who is this guy?
They're like, who the fuck? Who's going to be here? and that's what it takes. Instead of, you know, sucking someone's kneecaps, you over there doing what you're supposed to do, leaving them in a good, you know, a good, happy place, and walk out and keep it moving. Act like you don't care. Act like you don't need it. And then the grace of God, then you get the calls. You're like, wow, holy mackerel. And then you accept where you are and you understand the lessons, and then you start networking and running lines with actors that are on. You have friends and associates that are on major shows, and when you have friends that are making $50,000, $100,000, $250,000 or more per episode, and they're then hosting shows, you know, making millions of dollars, you know, for 2 months worth of work to get, you know, to shoot a whole season on a talk show, and they got paid $12 million, you start saying to yourself, it gives you the confidence saying, oh, that dude was at my house. He was running lines with me. He was asking me for advice. Look where he is now. So
yeah,
I've learned.
If he can do it, I can do it.
Exactly. You become who you associate, like I told you earlier. It gives you that confidence saying, it's him, why not me? And then you look at their actions, and also it's important to have a good team. You need a good team, good accountant, good attorney, and a good manager and agent that will push you, but also open up doors, because you need to be in front of the right people for them to know who you are and what you bring to the table.
Amen. All right, so what's next for you? What's next for you? What are you doing? What do you have your sights on? What are you excited about?
Brother, I'm just trying for the world to come to a calm with the crazy political nature of what's going on in this country, the divisiveness, you know, dealing with the coronavirus at the same time. It's been challenging. Hollywood shut down for 4.5 to 5 months. I was grateful right after it started to open up a little bit. I was in a quarantine bubble when I spoke to you. I was in L.A. You know, I was out there for 22 days. I shot 4 episodes, and you know, I just went directly from the mansion to the set, back and forth, and just living a life, you know, in the pool. But you're not allowed to go anywhere. Anything you want, they'll bring it to you, cook for yourself. But you know, everything was quarantine bubble. You get tested 3-4 times a week, and that was great. So right now, things have slowed up a little bit, and everybody wants to make sure there's not going to be any crazy civil unrest. So at the moment, the fact that, you know, I did a show before the pandemic hit for Dick Wolf called FBI's Most Wanted. I'm waiting for that episode. They stopped production at episode number 8. So I'm waiting for that to air and come out. And in the process, it's just about, they say success happens when opportunity meets preparation. My goal right now is to use this time as I get ready to start season 3 of that show, get myself in good shape, cut back on the cigars, get back on the bicycle, make sure I'm doing my push-ups, you know, and eating healthy, eating right, keeping a healthy mind, and being prepared for opportunities that will be coming. That's the biggest thing, is you have to be prepared for the opportunities that are coming. And that's it. All I can do is be prepared. But at the moment, I'm grateful. Like some people, like, I'm grateful. All right, I'm shooting season 3, but I'm already on to the next thing. As an actor, I'm never comfortable saying, oh, I got this job and that job. You're only as good as your last job in this business. Even though they pay you very well, I'm already like, okay, I need a trilogy film, or let me get on another show. You want to be in high demand where you're now making offers, where your managers is, hey, they're handing you scripts. They want you to play this character. And also in between, what a lot of people will do, I'm nurturing relationships in between. And it's hard because most of it now is either FaceTime or on the phone. And if we do a distant cigar, you know, everybody is scared of the coronavirus. So we're not close to each other. We're not going over each other's houses. And, you know, there's no award shows and after parties. So the networking is come to a halt. So the way that we now have to nurture relationships is different. So I'm trying to be creative with it. And that's important because, like I said, everything that you want to have, do, and obtain in this world is controlled by people. And if you don't have that FaceTime, out of sight, out of mind. So if I'm chilling with a producer or a director, you want to, you know, I want to go to the gun range with them. We go shooting, building that relationship. So, you know, at the end of the day, a good role comes up. They're like, yo, that's my man. Sean would be perfect for that. And you don't even have to audition. Straight offer. They write you right in. That's it. Just like that. They say, who you know will get you in the door? What you know will keep you there. So a lot of it is networking and knowing the right people. But like I said before, being prepared for that opportunity when it hits. And that's what I'm working on right now, to be prepared and to be ready for that blessing and that opportunity when the phone rings.
Amen. So for those people that want to follow you more, or they want to keep in touch with you, or they want to follow your success, where can people learn more about you, or where can people find you and follow you?
They can go Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'm verified on all platforms. It's at Sean Ringgold, SeanRingGold. Everything will come up, you know. I mean, you can Wikipedia. Awesome. I'm very easy to find. Sean Ringgold, everything. You just put in Sean Ringgold, everything will come up on the first page, and they can come into my world.
Love it. Well, if you are not following him, do. He's one of the best people that I've met. Sean, you have such an incredible, electric personality. I'm just, man, the way it is that you and I connected and have become such good friends, I'm blessed by you. I really am, man. Thank you so much for the time today.
But thank you. Come on. It's my,
yes.
Stop it, Pookie. Stop it, man. Come on, man.
Well,
I love your energy, too, man. I love your Instagram and your posts and, you know, that's how we met, we connected, and just because of your positivity
crazy.
And the gems that you were dropping on your Instagram page, I started going to your page. I'm like, oh, let me see if this guy's in finance and business, and, you know, I don't discriminate anybody in what they do. Finance, I'm learning from everybody. You don't have to be an A-list star with a whole bunch, hundreds of thousands of followers. When people are speaking, you know, truth to life, I'm like, this guy knows his stuff. This guy is serious. And I was relating to a lot of things that you were talking about in your post. I was like, okay, all right, I like this guy. I'm like, he's serious, too. I saw the look in his eyes. I'm like, this guy is not playing no games. I like this. And I always like to surround myself with people who are smarter than me, because I don't like to be the smartest person in the room. There's a lot that I don't know. I've shared a lot with you in reference to, like, when I was raising money, you know, being an executive producer. It is not easy. You know, and you dropped a lot of gems on me, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Well, we have let's get a socially distant Zoom cigar or something on the books over the weekend or something. I'd love to see you and have another smoke with you, my friend.
That'd be fantastic, my brother, man. Pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right, brother. I love you. Thanks so much.
Love you, too. I'll talk to you in a minute.
Thanks for listening today. This has been the Jeremy B. Hill Show. If you liked today's episode, go on and give us a 5-star review. Not 4, but 5. And even more importantly, share it with somebody else. This is Jeremy B. Hill. Your success is waiting for you, but it's not going to wait forever. Go get it.